Our study tonight is out of the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. God's promise to witness his truth to the world through Israel. Zechariah, along with Haggai, called the returning Hebrews back to rebuilding the temple, and he gave God's directives and future hope. The fifth vision in Zechariah 4, 1 to 14, of a set of eight visions, predicts God's use of Israel as a witness of his truth to the nations in the Messianic kingdom. We view the passage for our insight and edifying application. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at it. Zechariah 4, 1 through 14. And the angel that spoke with me came again and wakened me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I've looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, and a bowl hovering over the top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes each to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees on either side of it, one on the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof." So I answered and spoke unto the angel that spoke with me, saying, "What are these, my lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my lord." Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by human might nor by human power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands also shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered to me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Okay, this is where a little help from Hebrew makes it a whole lot more, a whole lot clearer. Where the fourth vision had focused on Israel's religious leader, Joshua the high priest, the fifth vision appropriately focused on Israel's civil governor, Zerubbabel. Remember, Zerubbabel is in the line for the king. In fact, it's through Zerubbabel that Joseph, the husband of Mary, came. And Joseph had the right to the throne. And what happened, Jesus inherited the right to the throne because his mother's husband had the right to the throne. But he was under the curse of Coniah. So Jesus escaped the curse because he was born of virgin birth of Mary. So he escaped the curse, but he has the right to the throne. It's very interesting. But anyway, Zerubbabel was in right to the throne, but he was a governor at the time. Now the angel speaking with Zechariah alerted him to a fifth vision in which Zechariah saw a gold candlestick with a bowl of olive oil suspended over it and seven pipes flowing from the bowl down to each of the seven lamps on the lamp on the candlestick. That means there were 49 pipes in all. And they supplied each of the lamps with abundant fuel. The fuel was olive oil. In addition, two olive trees stood on either side of the candlestick, supplying the olive oil lamp fuel for the bowl that was suspended over the lampstand. And the bowl fed the oil into the lamps by way of gravity. It's coming down. When Zechariah asked the angel what these objects signified, the angel merely responded, "Knowest thou not what these be?" To which Zechariah in turn responded, "No, my lord." It's interesting. Well, the angel's lack of explanation implied that Zechariah was to discern the vision's typology by starting with what was obvious. And what's obvious is the candlestick represented the temple candlestick that usually was kept burning by the work of humans that provided its fuel of olive oil. The humans would come by, the priests, and they would fill the lamps. You know, they would pour it out of another container, and they would make sure the lamps were lit, and they would trim the wicks and whatnot. However, the suspended bowl, ample lamps and olive trees in the vision indicated supernatural provisions for the sustainment of the lamps. See, you have the lampstand there, and the lights are being lit, but there are no humans that are involved. This is the bowl suspended in the air. Obviously, God's suspending it. And it's being fed oil from two olive trees on either side. They're emptying into the bowl, and then the bowl has these 49 pipes coming out of them, seven pipes per lamp. And the seven indicates an ample amount or complete amount. So these lamps are going to be amply fed with olive oil. So the angel explained the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, that not by human might or power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And many times the Holy Spirit is represented by olive oil in topology, in case you're interested, would be the great mountain or obstacle of the task of completing the temple to be achieved. The figurative mountain that would become a figurative plain, and Zerubbabel would bring forth the last top stone with shoutings by Israel's people of grace, grace unto it. Now the angel also said that Zerubbabel's hands that had laid the temple foundation would complete it, so that Israel would know that the pre-incarnate Christ from whom this message had come would fulfill his plans for Israel both near-term and long-term in the coming millennial kingdom. Now the angel's critique of despising the day of small things countered the criticism of those who saw Solomon's great temple and derided the less impressive temple that was being built by Zerubbabel. You remember back in Haggai chapter 2, verse 3, the prophet noted, you know, there are some of you are saying, isn't this temple insignificant? You know, you're seeing the other. In fact, when the foundation of the newer temple was laid, some of the elder people wept when they saw it and saw how shoddy the workmanship was compared to the Solomon's temple. And Solomon's temple had been made by expert craftsmen from Tyre. A lot of these stones were probably had scar marks on them, burn marks on them because of the Babylonians who had burned them. So it was, you know, it was a difficult and discouraging effort to try to rebuild the temple, especially when you're trying to do your best and you get criticized for it. Well, the seven eyes of the Lord recall the seven eyes on the stone in the fourth vision. Remember, you have to keep in mind there are precedents here in Zechariah that typify God's omniscience, meaning that God was ever aware of the value of his people's work for him. These seven eyes, God sees the eyes and he has perfect knowledge of what's going on. He knows the work's hard. He knows it's discouraging. And he knows that it's being compared with Solomon's temple and all that. But God says, no, what you're doing is important, Zerubbabel, you stay at it. Tremendous encouragement from the Lord. And a lot of people over the centuries have gained tremendous encouragement from this fact. Who has despised the day of small things? A lot of times it's easy for us to think that our little work for the Lord is so seemingly insignificant, you know. And so we conclude that, you know, what's the use? Is it going to really mean something in eternity? Yes, it is. If we're doing what God has assigned us to do, it is significant. And it's very important, and it will be highly rewarded by the Lord someday. Well, the prophet Zechariah then asked the attending angel about the identity of the two olive branches of the two olive trees that were beside the golden pipes that were pouring out the olive oil from themselves into the bowl reservoir that was suspended above the candlestick. It's interesting, the first time he asked the question, he asked, what are the two trees? And then he asked, what are the two branches? Apparently there were some branches that were leaning out with clusters of olives on them, and those clusters were feeding this. The branches mean something, the olive trees mean something else. And we'll get into this in a little bit. Well, the angel again cryptically responded by asking Zechariah, knowest thou not what these be? To which he replied, no, my lord. Essentially, a repeat of the conversation back in Zechariah 4:5. Incidentally, this is a literary device because Zechariah, this is the second time Zechariah has asked the angel, do you know what these be? And the angel says, don't you know what these are? And the reason the angel is doing this, he's trying to build to a climax. And the climax is the very last verse because that verse is very, very important. And that's what he's heading for. Finally, the angel climactically announced that the olive branches were sons of oil, the sons of oil, literally. These are men consecrated to their offices by anointing with oil and characterized by the operation of the Spirit in their official capacity as God's representatives of the people. They stood, as servants would stand, waiting on their master, their Lord of all the earth. And every time you have God referred to as here, God of all the earth, he's referring to God's rule of the entire earth in the millennial kingdom that is coming up. So, in the Great Tribulation, Israel's high priest and governor will testify to the world of Christ and his coming kingdom. In Revelation 11, 1-14, there's a reference to these two witnesses, and it says, these are the witnesses that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. And it picks right out of this passage of Zechariah. So those two witnesses we know will be the civil governor and also be the Jewish high priest. They apparently will be converted to Jesus Christ, and they're going to testify to Israel and to the world about Christ. And at first God is going to give them power, but then the Antichrist is going to overcome them, slay them, and then on the third day they're going to be resurrected, and they're going to hear a voice saying, come up here, and they'll be caught up, they'll be raptured up to heaven. And with that will come a great earthquake, and it will shake up everybody, and 7,000 people in Israel will be slain. But anyway, those are the two witnesses. Then in Zechariah's day, the high priest Joshua and the governor Zerubbabel were those witnesses in Zechariah's era. Now, the men here are branches from the trees. The trees represent, one represents the office of king, the other represents office of priest. Now, those two offices are going to be united in Christ, who will be the king priest in the millennial kingdom. So right now we're dealing with the branches of the tree, but then we're dealing with the trees themselves, which will be united in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the offices of priest and king, that's the trees, would be united in Christ. And by him, Israel would be a light, that is a witness of God's truth to the world. See, God had always wanted Israel to be a witness to the world. So in fact, there's a verse in Ezekiel somewhere that says, God's, I put you in the center of the world, of the known world at the time. And you look at Israel on a map, you've got the continent of Africa, the continent of Europe, the continent of Asia, and they all meet. The major crossroads of the ancient world cross right through Palestine, left and right. And by that, the Lord wanted the entire world to come into contact with the Jews. And the Jews are supposed to spread the truth and be witnesses of God to the world. The opposite happened. What happened is the paganism of the world around them infected Israel, and they turned away from their God to these false gods. Well, God has determined that Israel is going to be a witness, and so she will. Eventually, when she's justified and she knows the Lord, she will be a witness, a light to the world. And that's what the reference to Israel being a light. And the light shining, the light refers to truth, reality. So that's coming. So the lesson is, Zerubbabel's work to rebuild the temple seemed insignificant and difficult for him when others compared it to the former great temple of Solomon. Zerubbabel's ministry would be accomplished by the Holy Spirit's power that would also be profusely provided for Israel through her Messiah in the millennial kingdom. So in application, may we be encouraged to know that if our ministry assignment from God seems insignificant and hard to accomplish, if we perform it in reliance on God's power, it is destined for great fruitfulness and blessing. Count on it. Count on it. It will be productive. Dwight L. Moody, a great preacher, a great evangelist, three generations ago, said, if you go through Scripture, you never find a place where God assigned a man to do a work where he designed him to fail. Never. Wherever God assigned a man a job, he wanted him to succeed. Now, if he failed, he failed because of his own unbelief or his own sin. But God had equipped the man to succeed. So, if God's assigned you a job, he wants you to succeed. And in fact, he wants you to be very fruitful and productive in it. So, be encouraged. It might seem like it's futile, But believe you me, the Lord has his way of, through the power of the Holy Spirit, of doing great things for us and through us. So be encouraged by this. And these visions, incidentally, were designed to encourage people who were tempted to be very discouraged. So Zechariah is a great book for encouraging people. And that's what we need. It says when you get a discouraging word, you need 10 encouraging words to undo the discouraging word. That's true. We need a lot more encouragement than we nowadays, especially in the day in which we live. So be encouraged. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord.